Following the life story of Jehoshaphat is like taking a roller coaster ride. One moment you're up and reaching the dizzying heights of chapter 17, the description of a good king living a godly life, leading his people in paths that are true and good. The next moment, you plunge into the depths of chapter 18. And this same man is now, amazingly, engrossed in foolish, disobedient behavior, aligning himself with an idol worshiper. He's up in the heights, he's down in the depths. But actually, it's very like many of us. If you are to trace a line of a believer's life from the moment of his conversion through his path and daily growth until he reaches glory and is made perfect, would the line be a straight, upward, clear one? Is it not more likely that it will have peaks and troughs, just like Jehoshaphat? Isn't there something in all of us a bit like the roller coaster? We aim for a smooth, gradual growth and climb. We pray for that. We are, in fact, the Bible says, called to that. Follow after holiness. Press on towards the mark. Increase in godliness. But often we find that there are heights and depths along the way. There are victories and there are defeats. There are times when worship is a joy and our hearts feel a certain warmth. And there are other times it is a duty to be done. There are some days we pray and we feel a liberty in prayer. And at other times we wonder if we are doing anything useful at all. Sometimes we see signs of growth and we are greatly encouraged. And under other days we wonder if we could be Christians at all. We can understand Jehoshaphat and his roller coaster. Now remember, this is a good king. This is a true believer. This is a man whose heart is devoted to the Lord. And when you first meet him, you see these signs of godliness. And then out of the blue, he falls into the world and he gets entangled and makes friends with idolaters. And he joins them in what they're doing and he slides into foolish ways. He begins to think in the way the world thinks. He listens. This godly man listens to false prophets and ignores the word of God. He's on the heights. He's in the depths. But you know the great thing about the story of Jehoshaphat? Is that the grace of God never leaves him. And the grace which brought him to know the Lord continues to work in him as it has always done. And we are not surprised because the Bible says, he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. So tonight let's look at how grace continues to work in this believer's life. First of all, grace rescues us from the foolishness of sin. The first phrase in this chapter says simply, when Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned safely to his palace in Jerusalem. Now, you think that's just a kind of introduction to the important bit of the chapter, and this is just setting the scene. But actually, there is so much in that short, brief sentence. Where, for example, had he been before this? Where is he coming back from as he returns to Jerusalem? Well, he's coming back from the battlefield. And on that battlefield, he has been in grave danger. He has been a sitting target because, bizarrely, Jehoshaphat has gone into battle dressed, at the suggestion of his idolatrous friend, dressed in his kingly robes. Now, who are the enemy's soldiers going to aim for? So there he is in the battle, exposed to great danger. When Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned safely. So you see what's in this little sentence. He has returned safely from the battlefield. He should never have been in the battlefield. He was there because he had entered an ungodly alliance with an idolatrous man called Ahab. And Jehoshaphat could not blame anyone else. It was his own fault that he was in danger. And yet, at that very moment of great danger, he was still under the gracious care of God. The Lord helped him and rescued him by drawing the enemy soldiers away. God's sovereign grace and power ensured the safety of his servant. And it stands out all the more clearly because actually Ahab, in this very same battle, received a mortal wound. As one old writer put it, Jehoshaphat was safe in his robes, and Ahab was killed in his armor. Because Jehoshaphat was being cared for by the grace and mercy of God. He put himself in danger because of his disobedience to God's word. He hadn't listened to the prophet. He'd put himself in danger because he'd associated with an unbelieving world. But he returned home safely. He fared better than he deserved to do. But isn't that how it always is for all of us? Grace is like that. It means that we fare better than we deserve to do. That's true generally, isn't it? It's what we call common grace. The grace that helps every man in this world in certain ways. And so the young fellow who goes out in his car with the go faster stripes and drives carelessly and recklessly, far too quickly, returns safely to his home in Newton Arts. Because grace has kept him safe, and he fares better than he deserves to do. But not just generally is this grace granted. Particularly to the believer this grace is granted. Because we put ourselves in spiritual danger. We grow careless about prayer. We neglect our reading of God's word. We become presumptuous, thinking we can go on our own strength. We neglect the place of worship. We get drawn into close friendships with people who have no real interest in the Bible. We go places where we leave ourselves open to temptation. And yet, we return safely to our place. We don't fall away from church. We're still among God's people. We aren't castaways. Grace rescues us from the foolishness of sin. But secondly, grace rebukes us for the seriousness of sin. On the battlefield, Jehoshaphat certainly realized how much danger he was in. And he cried out, and the Lord rescued him. Now surely when he returned to his palace in Jerusalem, he came back as a man who had in his heart a real sense of gratitude, an awareness of how kind the Lord had been to him. But he needed something else. He needed to realize the seriousness of the sin that had brought him into the danger. He needed to face up to what he had done. Had he recognized what he'd done when he joined a believing man and followed the example of the world? Had it occurred to him that he had compromised his testimony and dishonored the name of the Lord? He needed to see his sin. And the Lord, in his grace, sent him a clear and solemn rebuke. Jehu, the son of Hanani, went out to meet him and said to the king, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? That's what you've been doing, Jehoshaphat. That's what you've been doing. That's what your sin is. It's rebellion. That's what sin is. Nothing less than that." James says, "Friendship with the world is enmity against God." And so Jehoshaphat is confronted with just what he's been doing and made to see what his sin is like. And we need that. We need that conviction. We let ourselves off too lightly. We don't very often recognize sin for what it is. Do we ever pray like the psalmist we've just been singing? Do we ever ask the Lord to convict us? Do we ever say, "Lord, search my heart and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting"? Matthew Henry says, "It is a great mercy to be told in time what we have done wrong, that we may repent." Jehoshaphat is rebuked for the seriousness of his sin. That sin deserves judgment. It cannot be overlooked. Even in an adopted child of God, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the wrath of the Lord is gone out against you." That's how serious your sin is. But we hear these words in a way that perhaps was not so clear to Jehoshaphat. We hear them in the light of the gospel. And these words lead us to the cross of Christ. He took the wrath which every sin deserves, that it would not fall on those who are guilty. That's the cross. That's the cross. And the wrath is turned away from those who deserve it because it comes on someone else. It's called propitiation. Wrath turned away from the guilty because it falls on another. The prophet Jehu was saying to Jehoshaphat, "This wrath has gone out against you, but it has not reached you, because another stood between you and the wrath and took it and saved you from it. If you are in him, you are safe. You may know the story of the family living on the plains in the prairie of North America. It was a dry and barren summer. The ground was tinder dry. And the family gazed out one morning, and their worst fears were realized. Because in the distance, they could see flames leaping up to the sky. A great fire had broken out on the prairie. And the wind was strong and the ground was dry and the fire was racing towards their house and towards them. And the family did what anyone would do. They immediately ran as fast as they could, leaving possessions behind. But it didn't take long before they realized they were never ever going to outrun this rapidly encroaching fire. And they stopped. And the father made his family stand around him. And from his pocket he took out some matches, knelt down and lit the ground in front of them, the wind behind his back. He set the ground afire, and it blazed and roared and rushed away, so that now there's fire in front of them as well as behind them. But he knew what he was doing, because after a while, the ground in front burned up, turned black, was deadened. And as he looked at this darkened, deadened ground, he told his family, "Let's all stand there." And so they did. And of course the fire would not touch them, because there was nothing for it to take hold of. They were standing where the fire had already been. And so there was nothing for the fire to light. And that's where we stand by faith, where the judgment has already been, and the only safe place to be, there where the wrath has been taken by one in our place. Jehoshaphat receives a rebuke for the seriousness of his sin. But I want you to notice as well that even in this rebuke, there comes an encouragement. Verse 3. "There is, however, some good in you, for you have rid the land of the Asherah poles and have set your heart on seeking God." How wonderful and how perfect God's grace is. We need to see the seriousness of sin, but we also need to be encouraged. And when God in his grace convicts us of his sin, of our sin, he never leaves us in despair. And that's important, isn't it? When we realize our great failures, when we realize the seriousness of our sin, when we realize how far we've wandered, when we realize how we have dishonored the Lord by our words or by our actions, we could very easily slide into despair. We could think, "My situation is hopeless." We could think, "Have I ever been converted?" And so in his grace, God reassured Jehoshaphat. "Yes," he says, "you did fall. You did sin. You did something serious. You did turn away. But I know your heart, Jehoshaphat. And I know that in your heart you trust in me. I have not forgotten about those signs of life that are in you. I've not forgotten about your obedience. Isn't that a great encouragement? That the Lord who sends this rebuke to Jehoshaphat for his sin also sends reassurance to Jehoshaphat and says, my grace is working in your heart, and there is still in you a true and real spiritual life. A good man may stumble and fall. He may wander, but grace continues in his heart. And actually, that's why the good man feels so keenly his failures. And that's why, even when he feels broken, and maybe on the verge of despair, that's why at that moment he continues to look to God for help and recovery. He's grieved when he fails the Lord, but grace reassures him. I know your heart. You've fallen. You've sinned. Your sin is serious. It's inexcusable. But I know your heart, and that there's life there, and there's faith there. You have set your heart on seeking God. Grace rebukes us. That's a good thing. That we're not left to just drift into our sin and be left in it. Grace rebukes us. But it also reassures us and never leaves us in despair. Isn't that a wonderful thing? How marvelous is the grace of God? How rich it is. How perfect it is. Beyond our thinking. God in his grace rescues us from the foolishness of our sin. And God in his grace rebukes us for the seriousness of our sin. And reassures us even at such a time. And finally, grace repairs for us the effects of sin. Jehoshaphat foolishly had joined this alliance with an idol worshipper. He had turned away from his faithful walk with God. He had done shamefully. And remember, this man is a king. His life is observed. People see him, they know him, he's well known. He's not a man who's living on his own in a cave somewhere. This is a king whom people know. So what do you think will happen when the king strays and disobeys God's word and follows the world and joins with idolaters and does foolish things? What do you think will happen? His citizens will notice. And what might happen? They might do the same. And all his good work could so easily be undone. Remember, Jehoshaphat had been really enthusiastic in the work of God's kingdom. Remember, this is a man who wanted people to hear the Bible, who sent out preachers to tell others the good news of God's law and word. This is the man who arranged for his citizens to be taught the word of God. This is the man who had been zealous in getting rid of the evidence of idolatry, as verse 3 has told us. This is a man who's done a great deal of good. But now, the danger is that much of his good work will be undone, and his witness will be spoiled. And it seems, doesn't it, that actually the people in the land, his citizens, had in fact also wandered away from God. Verse 4 says that he turned them back to the Lord. They have been affected and they have drifted away. Matthew Henry says, many became presumptuous and turned to idols when they saw their king striking up a close friendship with an idol worshipper. If the king can do this, if the king can behave like this, if he can get into the world like this, if he can leave aside his faith like this, if he can stop listening to the Bible like this, well, maybe we can too. It can't really be all that serious. Isn't that frightening? Isn't that really, really frightening? Isn't it frightening for anyone in any position of influence within your friends, within your family, within your community, within your place of work? Our lapses into worldliness, our drifting away from the Word of God, they will have an effect on others close to us. So every father needs to be really, really careful. How he behaves and how he talks. Because there are children watching him. And they are going to learn. They are going to learn. And every teacher who's known to be a Christian in the school needs to be really, really careful. And every elder and every minister and every grandfather. And you could go on, couldn't you, with the list, because all of us in some way or another have an influence on people around us. And whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. And Jehoshaphat, the good, godly king, undid much of his good work and set an example which was damaging. And yet, grace continues to work. And in and through him, the effects of sin are repaired. The damage that sin causes is reversed. Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people and turned them back to the Lord. Does it remind you of anybody? Simon, Simon. Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, when you've been brought safely back to your Jerusalem, here's what to do. Get to work strengthening your brothers. Grace doesn't stop halfway. It rescues us from the foolishness of our sin. It rebukes us for the seriousness of our sin, but it repairs for us the effects of our sin. And Jehoshaphat strengthens his brethren. And he comes along to them and he says, you'll notice here, he says, look, sin is desperately, desperately serious, and it's desperately prevalent. And it's so easy to fall into sin. He says, warn them about it. Warn them not to sin against the Lord, verse 10. And then you notice, he actually uses the very words which have been addressed to him. Jehoshaphat, your sin is serious, and wrath from the Lord has come out against you. And what does he say? He says, warn them against their sin, otherwise wrath from the Lord will come out on you and your brothers. Sin is desperately serious. Call the people to turn away from it. Do we live in a way that warns people, do you think, of the seriousness of sin? Would they realize that by looking at us? Do we speak in such a way that people will also know that there is pardon and there is mercy, and that there is one who has stood between the wrath which sin brings and the falling of that wrath on the sinner? And he delivers us. How gracious is God. In his grace, he rescues us from the foolishness of our sin. He rebukes us for its seriousness and lovingly repairs for us the effects of sin. How gracious, worthy to be praised and worthy to be loved and worthy to be feared and worthy to be trusted. Amen.